We're holding on Yud-Ches Amud Beis, five lines from the bottom. We're in the middle of discussing the question when our Mishnah had said that if you find a get, then you shouldn't return it because the husband may have changed his mind and decided not to give it. So we can't be certain whether it was given yet or not. Therefore, we shouldn't return it to either the husband or the wife. Implying, though, we said that may imply that if he did decide to give it, then we could, and he admits that he did give it to his wife, then we could give it to her. On the other hand, we have the concern that we were discussing yesterday, that what if it's actually somebody else's get, and it just happens to have the same names and city, etc. There may be different cities of the same name, or even within the same city, there may be different people of the same name. We have the difference of whether Sheyoris Mitsuyas, as we discussed, whether people are commonly traveling back and forth through this area, and therefore there's a higher likelihood that somebody else dropped the get. So we were discussing the various ins and outs of that. So we were dealing with various ways, in short, we were dealing with various ways of reconciling our Mishnah, which doesn't mention anything about La'alter versus La'achar Zman, immediately or sometime later, versus the Mishnah in Gittin, which does draw that distinction. So we said that we had Rabba's way of drawing the distinction, which is that in order to not return it, you have to have, in order to not return it after La'alter has passed, you need two things. You need that there are Shayaris Mitsuyas, and that you know that there are two people of the same name. That was according to Rabba. We had, according to Rab Zera, possibly the same thing, or we had a different understanding of Rab Zera, that maybe he says, when Sheyoris Mitsuyas, then that's the only distinction you need. It doesn't matter whether we know there to be two Yosef and Shimons. Then we said another answer. We said Rabbi Yirmiyah says that you could have the case of our Mishnah would be that the Edim say we only ever sign one get that has this name on it, and therefore obviously this must be the one. So now the Gemara continues. Rav Ashi says another case where you could say that you can return it even after Zman Meruba, even after a long time, would be to go to Kama neck of Yeshba B'tzad Ois Plonis. Suppose that the Shliach says that he has a simon on the get, that there's a hole next to such and such a letter. So now, if the get we find has that, then that's a very strong reason to say that it really is the same get, and therefore we can return it to the shliach. And then what happens with that after that is going to depend, as we said before, on whether the husband still wants to use it to divorce his wife or not. And the Gemara points out, v'davka b'tzad ois points. There is some discussion among Mephoshim, by the way, whether this answer of Rav Ashi's and the previous one of Rav Yirmiyah, would they be following Rabba's statement before that was saying that that Rabba had said in order to not return the get, you need Shayoras Mitsuyas, and that there are known to be two Yosef and Shimons. And even in that case, when we have both of those factors, and on the face of it, we shouldn't return the get, Rav Yirmiyah would be saying, if the Edim say we only ever sign one such get, or Rav Ashi is saying he has a strong simon on it, then that would be good enough to return it. Or would they be talking about maybe within Rav Zera's opinion, where you have a problem when Shayoras Mitsuyas, and again then we would say, but these things, them saying that we only ever sign one such get or having a simon in it would override that. So there's some discussion about that. Anyway, Rav Ashi is saying that the shliach is saying that that he has a strong simon on the get, namely there's a hole next to such and such a letter, and sure enough, the get we found has a hole in just that place, which the Gemara points out, v'davka b'tzad ois plonis. Now that would only apply then only if he gives a strong simon, which the Gemara calls simon muvhak, on that, namely that that exactly that kind of thing, that that it has a hole next to a certain letter. But if he says generically the get had a hole, but he's not sure where, loy, then not necessarily as Rav Ashi saying that that's a strong enough reason to return the get, because Rav Ashi masap galay b'simonim, Rav Ashi masap galay simonim idaraisa idrabanon. Rav Ashi has a suffix regarding simonim. We're going to learn in the next parak a sugya on the subject. Like this, we know that you return a lost object based on the person offering simonim for it. Is that Valedodicer, or is it only Drabonim? But Rashi explains, in other words, what the Gemara is saying is that even if we say in that sugya, and the Gemara doesn't really come to a conclusion over there, whether simonim, even if you're going to say that simonim many times are only Drabonim, but when you have a simon muvhak, when you have a simon which is pretty much unique to this thing, and there, it's highly unlikely that it would exist in another thing of the same kind, then you could rely on them even for Daraisa things. Now, if you say that simonim are generally valid only Drabonim, fine. As far as returning lost objects, there's no problem doing that, because listen, after all, Hefker based in Hefker, so therefore, so Basedin has the right to say, even if on a Daraisa level, there wouldn't be a basis for returning this lost object, but Midrabanan, we're going to make you return it because Hefker based in Hefker. But you can't say that in the case of a get, where the get needs to remain valid on a Daraisa level. So that's why that's why we're saying, so sort of Ashi is not sure. If you knew that simonim are Daraisa, then we would say you don't even need a simon muvhak. Then it would be enough for the shliach to say the get had a hole in it, and we find, sure enough, this get that we found had a hole in it. But because there's the possibility that simonim that are not so muvhak, that are not so distinct, that are not so uniquely distinctive, are valid only on derabanan level, then therefore Rav Ashi is requiring over here to have a simon muvhak, which for sure is going to be valid on a daraisa level, because realistically, there's not going to be another get out there that has the that has, even if the shliach doesn't happen to know the names that are in the get or any of the other details, but he's saying there's a hole next to such and such a letter. It's highly unlikely that there's another get that is like that, and therefore that's a simon moha. So that would be a reason to return it to him. So the Gemara continues. Rabbi Baba Chana, Irkas Legita Be Medrash. It happened once that Rabbi Baba Chana lost a get in the Beis Medrash. Rashi explains that that Rabbi Baba Chana was a shliach to deliver a get, and he lost the get on the way. Achronim deal, by the way, with the interesting question: how does Rashi know that Rabbi Baba Chana was the shliach for the get? How do we know it wasn't just that Rabbi Baba Chana himself was planning to divorce his wife? The Maharam Shif brings up that point in Gittin, and he says that we shouldn't really assume. I mean, Rabbi Baba Chana is a great Talmud Chacham. We shouldn't assume without good reason that he himself is divorcing his wife. And Rabbi Akiva Eger gives an answer that the get was returned to him on the basis of, as we're going to say, either simonim or tvius ayin. If it was his own get, then you wouldn't need all of that because you'd have a migri. And he discusses how exactly such a migri would work. But anyway, so here Rabbi Baba Chana was a shliach to bring a get, and then he lost it. Omar Bei Medrash, he lost it in the Beis Medrash. Omar, so he says to the people over there, Isimona, if you want a simon, if you want me to give a simon. Now a simon muvhak I don't have, but a regular simon I have. Now in the next parak we're going to talk in more detail, Baruch Hashem, about basically three different levels of simonim. You have a simon muvhak, something which is unique and you're really not going to find anything like it anywhere else. The example would be like we just said about a hole in the get next to a certain letter. There may be other gittin that have holes in it, but it's highly unlikely that you're going to have another get that has a hole in that exact same spot. Then you have, that's a simon muvhak. Then you have a simon she'ene muvhak, which is a simon that's not quite so distinctive, but it's somewhat distinctive. For example, that there's a hole in the get. Many gittin don't have holes in them. Of the ones that do, some of them do. So you can't say it's an absolutely distinctive simon, but it is a simon. And then you have things that are not really a simon at all. It's going to talk about in the next parak, for example, let's say that the get is a certain size, where there are, if you can give the dimensions of the get, there are many gittin out there that have the same dimensions. So that's not really, that hardly counts as a simon at all. So here, Rabbi Baba Chana is saying, I have an average kind of simon. I can give you a simon, for example, that there's a hole in it, or for example, the Gemara is going to give other examples later in the next parak of a simon that's not so mover. So I have that. Itvius eina isli begave. Or he says, instead, if you want, I have tvius ayin, which means sometimes you have something where, and you have this maisim b'chol yom. Let's say you know a certain person, you can't, if you were asked to describe what he looks like, you wouldn't be able to, but as soon as you see him, you know him. So that's tvius ayin. So he's saying, I may not be able to give the exact dimensions and everything of the get, but I can recognize it on sight. I would recognize the handwriting of the sofer and the edim and the size of it. So one or the other. So they returned it to Rav Baba Chana. Omar, so he says afterwards, Lo yadayne imishum simona adrua niyali. I don't know then, actually, when they returned it to me, was it in fact because of the simonim, the kasari simonim daraisa, in which case they hold like the opinions that we're going to learn in the next parak, that simonim are valid even daraisa, even where they're not so mova. Or is it that they returned it to me because of Tvias Ayin? Because in other words, they would have said simonim are not enough, but Tvias Ayin is fine. But the Gemara points out, as far as the Tvias Ayin, to say that you can return it by Tvias Ayin would only apply to a Tamad Chacham, like Rav Baba Chana. Avo inishta al maloi, but not just a regular person off the street. And I'm oret, so you wouldn't necessarily rely on him to give tvias ayin. Now, Rishonim deal with the question. Well, why not? I mean, if you're talking about recognizing, in the same way as a Talmud Chacham, for example, can recognize somebody on site, and that's tvias ayin, and I'm oret has the capability of doing the same thing as well. So what's the problem? So Tosfos over here mentions the point that it's not that an Amma Oretz is not capable of recognizing people on sight, and in fact he brings a cute Gemara from Bava Basra that talks about that talks about an Amma Oretz having the ability to do that. The Gemara mentions over there that when the Talmud Chacham is going to be Makadish a woman, he would do well to take an Amma Oretz along with him, with the idea being the Talmud Chacham is not necessarily going to look so carefully at the woman because he's a tznias sticker guy. He doesn't look at women that much, and how will he recognize her later? So you should take along an Amma Oretz friend of his, and the Amma Oretz is more likely to look at her and to stare at her, and therefore to remember what she looks like, so that later on they can so later on they can get married. So it's not that an Amma Oretz doesn't have Tvias Ayin, Tosfos says. It's just that in this case of a get, he has no nemonos. So that would be one reason. On the other hand, there are Rishonim who discuss that the Ramban and other Rishonim discuss. It's not so much a matter of Nemonus, but it's more a matter of that a Talmud Chacham is going to be more precise with his Tvias Ayin, in the sense that he's going to you can have, and Amma Oretz is going to say that he has Tvias Ayin and he recognizes it. He may not mean to lie, but he may not be paying close attention to details, as opposed to a Talmud Chacham who's used to looking into the details of things. So he has more Nemonus. So there's different ways of understanding it, and there's also a consideration that they bring up in this regard, when it comes to a get, a get really has two factors in it. On the one hand, you're treating it kind of like mammon, but it's also more a matter of issur v'heter. But because you have the mammon aspect of it, Rabbi Chaim Ozer points this out, that therefore. And then we're going to learn in the next parak that when it comes to returning a regular lost object, you can't return it to an Amma Oretz with Tvias Ayin. He has to be a Talmud Chacham, otherwise we can't trust him. So it would be the same thing over here, according to Tosfos, that you can't trust him because he lacks Nemonus, meaning, in other words, we would say, normally in a case of Issur V'Heter, we usually say Eid Echad Nemon B'Issurin. One aid is enough to give Eidus on something, and we trust it. You can go and eat in somebody's house, for example, and trust the kashrus of his kitchen. But over here, given that you have the mammon component of it as well, then you have a different story. So the Gemara continues. Gufa, getting back to we said before earlier in the sugya, motza get isha bashuk. So the bottom line, as far as this story, in other words, is we still can't be sure from the story whether simonim that are not muvhak or daraisa or derabanan, the fact that they returned the get to Rav Baba Chana, maybe because they were able to return it, because of Tvias Ayin, he being a Talmud Chacham. So the Gemara says, Gufa. Getting back to what we said before, Motza get isha bashuk. We said that if you find a woman's get in the street, Bizman Shabal Moida, we had a braisa that we learned yesterday, when the husband agrees that he hasn't yet given the get and he still wants to give it, when the husband agrees that he already gave the get and that his wife is divorced, Yachzir Leisha, then you return the get to the woman and she holds on to it as a proof that she can remarry and as a proof that she can collect her ksuba. And if he doesn't agree, then you don't return it to either one of them. So now let's consider. Bizman shabal moida with Mia, but even when the husband agrees that he divorced her, on the face of it, what do you mean yachzor leisha? What do you mean you return it to the wife in that case? Isn't there the concern that he may have written the get intending to give it to her in Nisan, and he only gave it to her the following Tishrei? And meanwhile, now we have to remember that during the time that until he actually divorces her, he's still entitled to peiros from her nichsim alum. So therefore, the ozal baal zabin peiri minisin van Tishrei. Meanwhile, the husband has gone and sold peiros of nichsim alum between Nisan and Tishrei. Now, if we give her the get, then the debt and the get bears a date of Nisan. She's going to bring out a get that is dated Nissan. She's going to claim that she was divorced in Nissan already, and she's going to end up taking away from Lekuchas improperly, because those Lekuchas are in fact entitled to those payers because they weren't divorced all that time, but now she's going to claim that during those 6 months, her husband had no right to sell the payros of Nichsim Malug, and therefore she's going to demand them back from the buyers. And that would be wrong because she wasn't in fact divorced until Tishrei. So the Gemara answers. So the Gemara points out. Now, it works out well if we say, according to the opinion, that once the husband has decided to divorce his wife, then he forfeits her peiros. Well, then shaper, then we're good. So he decided already, obviously, to divorce her in Nissan. That's why he had the get written then. So even if he only does it, even if he only gives it to her in Tishrei, that's fine. From Nissan already, he's lost peiros. Therefore, there's no possibility that during those 6 months he's selling peiros, and therefore that problem will never arise in the first place. But if you say the husband is entitled to peiros until he gives the get to his wife, which this is a machlokas in Masechta Gittin, my ikal meimah, then what are you going to say? The Gemara discusses in Gittin over there, why is it that a get needs a date on it? And you have a machlokas over there of why a get needs a date on it. And one reason is in order to avoid problems with peiros over there. Because if you don't have a date on it, then we're not going to be sure. Then we're not going to be sure from what point he forfeits payers. Because according to that way of looking at it, he's entitled to them until the get is actually. Delivered, and therefore the date on the get is not going to make a difference anyway. And there, the Gemara gives a different reason why you need a get and why you need a date. Anyway, according to that opinion, then don't you have the problem over here that conceivably during that 6 month window he might sell some of the payers and then later on she's going to claim that no, those payers belong to me all this time. Now Tosfos points out that usually we don't have these kinds of concerns because it's only when the get was dropped really that we're concerned, as we've learned before. Once the get was dropped, that itself creates a certain reyesa, creates a certain reason to suspect there's something wrong with this get, and therefore we have more reason to be concerned about this kind of thing more than with any other get. But Tosfos also discusses a number of other angles on this. First of all, we learned back on Daf Yud Gimel, we said that Abaye had said with a shtar, once it's signed, then already the shibud and it takes effect. But over here, we wouldn't say that with a get. Tosfos points out, because after all, a get is a chayv for her. You only say zochen, you say edim v'chasum of zochen loy, that once the edim sign the document, then it creates a schus for the recipient of the document. But here, it's not a schus, it's a chayv, so therefore that wouldn't work. And then Tosfos goes on to point out anyway that like this For example, here the husband is saying that he gave her the get and that he had divorced her on such and such a day. So the problem is that well, he doesn't say on such and such a day, but we know that he's saying that the get was found and you return it to her. It's not going to be so obvious when the divorce took place. We're going to think it was the date that it was actually written, and then you have the concern that we're saying in the Gemara over here. So the answer is ki askul the mitzraf. The answer is if she does want to go take away from the lakuchas, amrin in law, we're going to tell her, I see raya emas mote gita liyodich. Bring proof when the get actually reached you, and only from then can you take payrus. So again, if the get hadn't been lost, we wouldn't say that. We would say from the date written on the get, she'd be entitled to take payrus. Because we would assume that she was divorced on the day that it said, or at least she wouldn't have to. If she claimed that, we wouldn't tell her to bring a raya. But here, as Tosfos says, where the get was lost and then found, then we have a raya, said we have a weakness in the get, and therefore we're going to tell her that. So that avoids the problem, because now, even if the get is dated Nissan, and in fact she wasn't divorced till Tishrei, in order to collect the payrus from Nissan till Tishrei, she will in fact have to bring Edim or some kind of raya that in fact she was divorced in Nissan, and if not, then she's not going to be able to collect those payments. So again, Tosfos points out in this connection, there's a difference between this and a shtar choy. People sometimes borrow money in private as opposed to a get has a little more publicity to it. So the Gemara asks, in that case, why is it different than a shtar choy, the tnan? We learned previously, matzah shtari choy, we learned back on your bays on the bays, that if you find shtari choy, im yeshbar nachrayis nechosim layachzer, we said if the shtar has achrayis nechosim on it, then you don't return it, because then you have the problem that, as we said, it may be paid off, there may be piroin and knunya involved, they may be trying to cheat the people who bought property in between, or various other considerations that we learned about over there. And we explained, according to Rav Asi, and according to Abaya, and according to Rav Yochanan, we said we're talking about the case is, even though the loiva agrees that the loan is still outstanding, so there's no problem that the shtar might be forged, and there's no problem on the face of it that he might have paid back, but nevertheless there is the concern he might in fact have paid it back, and now they're doing a knunya, now they're trying to play a trick to get something out of the lakuchas. We had there before, by the way, we had the opinion of Shmuel that said that it was talking about Ein Chayev Moda, but we ended up schlugging up Shmuel and Rabbi Elazar over there. So we're left with the understanding that the Mishnah is talking about Chayev Moda. And the concern, and one of the ways of understanding the problem, it wasn't just the matter of that it may have been paid off and there was knunya. We said one way of understanding it, Mishum Shemakos of Lovas Benissin, Vloilavad Tishrei. We said there may be the concern that he wrote planning to borrow planning to borrow Nissan, and didn't end up borrowing until Tishrei. And then again, you have the problem of taking over all the Katarif Lekuchas Shaloi Kadin, and now he's going to take away from Lekuchas improperly. So we said that that's why you shouldn't return it. Even when we're not concerned about Peroin and Knunya, there still is just the concern that now we said, according to Abaya, that question wouldn't begin, because according to Abaya and that Sovia there on Daf Yud Gimel, we said Edebach Sum of Zochin Loy, as soon as the Shtar is signed, then the Shibud begins. But according to Rav Asi over there, who said, according to Rav Asi, and eventually we said, according to Rav Yochanan over there, that we don't say that, then it starts when it's actually given. So then in that case, so we're saying that that's a reason why not to return the shtar. Well, the question is, Hosanami Lahader, why don't we do the same thing? Return the shtar, v'chi osilim bitref, and if the malva wants to be turdif, wants to take away property from third parties to collect the debt, namely, I see raya emas matos shtar choyv liyada. Then we can tell them the same thing. Bring a proof when you actually receive the shtar. So the same way as we're saying over here by the get isha, where we don't have a problem with payrus, because we can tell her if you want to collect on those payrus that your husband sold, which you're claiming is after he divorced you, then bring proof that it is in fact after he divorced you. So why can't we say the same thing with a shtar chayv? So why are we saying there is a blanket statement we can't return it, even though chayev moida, whereas over here we're saying when the husband is moida that he did divorce his wife, then you return it. And the answer is hocha gabaget isha osu lekeach v'tova. Because the difference is that here, when here with a get, here with the get isha, if she wants to collect, if she wants to collect from the lekeach, she wants to claim that what was sold was that what was sold was after the divorce. Also lekeach v'tova, then it's true. The lekeach has a reason to think that he should go and demand from her to prove when she was divorced. Omar, because he can say to himself, you know why the Chachamim said that she should be given back the get? Is only mishum deloy to agin v'tesiv, is only so she's not an aguna. So like this, she should be able to remarry. In other words, keep in mind, you know, the get has two components to it. It has an isur v'heter component that she can remarry, and it has a mammon component in it that because of that, now she's able to collect her ksuba, and she's able to and then now peiros are cut off for her husband or whatever. So a lekeach. So let's say, for example, the husband did in fact divorce her in Nissan. So let's say, in other words, the husband did write the get in Nissan, didn't divorce her until Tishrei. Meanwhile, during those 6 months, he sold peiros, and now she's going to lekeach and saying, "Wait, I was divorced in Nissan." The lekeach is going to think to himself, "You know what? The fact that she has the get in and of itself does not prove that she was in fact divorced in Nissan. The only reason the Chachamim returned her the get, the only reason the Chachamim said to return her the get is just so she can get remarried." Now, though, she's coming to actually use the monetary component of it and be turdif, tazel, but tazel raya, that she's going to have to go and bring a raya, emas, mata, gita, liyada, when the get reached her hand. So, therefore, so that will work. On the other hand, when it comes to the Mishnah earlier about finding a lost shtar choyv, loy osi lekeach v'tova, the lekeach is not even going to think is not going to think that he has any basis for going and demanding such a proof. He's going to think to himself, now in the case of a shtar chayv, there's only the monetary component. So he's going to think, if the chachamim said that should be returned, midad ru rabbanon niyale the shtar chayv who shmamina, then that midad ru rabbanon niyale the shtar chayv. Then it's obvious. Why else would they have returned it to him? It must be in order to be tov with it, because if it's just a matter of among other things, if it's just a matter of bringing a proof that he has an outstanding loan, so the lawyer can't claim paraiti or whatever, then the Tanis Chaim points out. That in that case, instead of returning him the lost shtar, where we never know, after all, it may have been valid, it may have been not, then they would tell the loiva, write him out a new shtar, and that way at least he'd be able to collect from the chosim b'nei chorin. So the fact that we don't do that, the fact that we return the original shtar, the lekeach is going to think to himself, shmamina komu rabbonin b'milsa, he's going to think to himself, the chachamim must have checked out the situation, and in fact, the shtar reached him before I ever bought the property, and therefore he does have the right to be turdif, and it's not even going to occur to him to demand proof that in fact it was delivered to him only later, because he's going to think if that were the case, then the Chachamim wouldn't have even said that the shtar should be returned to him. So there is a difference, in short, between a get, which has an isur v'heter component, versus a shtar choyv, which is only mammon, whereby shtar choyv, he's going to say to himself that, if it was returned to him, it must mean that in fact he has a valid claim against this property that I bought, and therefore I guess I have no choice but to go through with it, and it's not even going to occur to him to check out whether that's in fact the case, as opposed to by a get, he'll have reason enough to think of that, because he'll say to himself that, okay, she has the get, that's only they said to return the get so she can get remarried, that doesn't necessarily mean that I shouldn't find out when in fact she received the get, and how that affects my ownership of the payers. Not necessarily. That's the person is going to have to bring. So that's the thing. I mean, if he can bring, here we're talking about chayev moida. We know that the loiva is admitting that he borrowed the money. Not necessarily is there such a coil when exactly it took place, especially given that the shtar over here has a certain date on it. So we don't know when it actually reached him. Again, remember, according to Abaye, it doesn't matter. But according to Rav Asi, this whole question is only if we say that
against over here, why are we scared to give back?
So that's the thing. So we're afraid, not because of Kanunya. We're saying the reason is because Shemakos of Lovus Benissin will love Ab Tishrei. He may have written it earlier and only gotten around to taking out the loan now in Tishrei. It's not a matter of Kanunya per se. It's Lukokas are losing out, right? Okay. Fine. The Mishnah had said Shichrurei Avodim. The Mishnah had said that if you find a document saying that a person freed a slave, so again we said you have the concern Nimlach Kosov the Nimlach Alein Shalei Litnan, he may have written out the shtar and then Suvim Hoyev Nimlach Alein Shalei Litnan, he had the shtar written, then he changed his mind and decided to not go through with it, so therefore we can't return it to either one of them.
This is
an Eved Knami. In general, in the Gemara, whenever we use the word Eved without qualification, generally we mean an Eved Knami, because an Eved Ivri, you have, obviously, as certain dinim, but for the most part, he's really not different than any other yid. You don't need a shtar to be mashachar him in particular. Or to the extent you do, fine. I mean, he's a yid regardless. It's completely a matter of dinim ominous. But yeah. So the Gemara says Tanan Rabbanan motza shtar shichru bashuk. So if you find such a document of emancipation, of freeing an eved in the street, bizman sharav moide yachzol eved. Again, when the husband, when the master admits. When the master admits that he had already freed his slave with it, yachzol eved, then you return it to the eved, and the eved in the future can use it as proof a that he's free, that the master can't bring him back to an eved, but number two also that he can marry a bas yisrael. So rav moida, but if the master doesn't admit lo yachzol lo lozev, then that would be the case of our Mishnah that you don't return it to either one. Now the Gemara asks in a similar vein that we did with the get. Bizman sharav moya mid mia yachzol eved. So you're saying at any rate that when the rav is moida that he gave it to the eved, then you can return it to the eved. The question is v'amai? Why don't we have the same concern that we did with the get? Nechos shemakos of litin loy benissen. The concern might be that he wrote the document intending to free him in nissen. V'leinosam loyad tishrei. He only ended up giving it to him the following tishrei. The Ozel Abd of Konan Nixin. Meanwhile, the Eved went and bought property, Minisin Vad Tishrei. The Ozel Arab Zabninu, the master claiming that he hasn't yet freed the Eved until Tishrei, goes and sells that property because Mashkona Eved Konan Rabbi. So whatever the slave acquired is considered to belong to his master. We haven't got the money to begin with, is a question, but fine. The fact is that, yeah. Now, later on, the Eved goes and takes out a Shar Shichur that was written in Nissen, and again, he's going to be taken from Lekuchas improperly. So don't you have the same concern as we had by the Peris, by the Get Isha? We have the same concern as far as Nechosim in general when it comes to this. And again, you can say it works out well according to the opinion that in general, when an Eved is freed, it's considered a schus for him because it allows him to marry a Bas Yisrael. Okay, then Kabaya, Drama Edebach Sum of Zochen. We said before on Daf Yud Gimel that according to Abaya, once the document is signed, then that already is mezaka to him, and we don't care when it actually reached him. So therefore, if we say that, then good. Then it means, in other words, here we have shaper. Then it's good. Then you can return the shtar to the eved, and it means, in other words, it does retroactively take effect from when it was written. But if you say that it's a detriment to him that he goes lacheros, because up until this point, so you have a few things. If he belongs to a koyan, then he was allowed to eat truma, and now he can't. And if he's an eved of Yisrael, he's not allowed anymore to be with a shivcha knanis, where as Rashi says, zilalei ushchichalei upritzalei, as the Gemara tells us elsewhere, that she's more available and more pritzistic and so forth, and therefore he'll figure he has an easier time with her, he may not want to give up that, so to speak, carefree life in order to become a ben chorin. So according to that, it's a choy for him, ma'ik l'meimar. Then what are you going to say? Then even according to Abaya, we're not going to say eid v'chsum of zochen loy, certainly not according to Rabasi. So then in that case, then how does that work and not have the problem of taking away from l'kuchas improper? And again, the answer is, the ki'osi l'mitref, we'll do the same thing as with the get isha. When he comes to be toref, Amrinan Le, we're going to tell him, I see Raya, Amos Mata, Shtar Shich, Amos Mata, Shichru Liyadach, bring a proof when you receive the Shtar Shichru. And again, we have the same consideration that we do. We have the same consideration that we do that we did as far as the get isha, where there is an iser v'heter component in this shtar, because after all, it allows him to marry a bas Yisrael, and therefore a potential lekeach will say, yes, the reason he has the reason they gave him it back is in order for him to marry a bas Yisrael, but not necessarily does that mean that I shouldn't go and ask when he received it. Again, as opposed to a shtar choy, where you only have the mammon component. And therefore, he's not even going to think to ask about that, because he's going to figure that once the shtar was returned to him, it means that everything must be on the up and up. Tosfos actually discusses on the next daf the question. Even if we say Eidav Achsum of Zochinloi, if that's only is that Midar Naiser or is that a Takonas Fachami? The question is, if it's only a Takonas Chachamim, how does it allow then that that we're saying that as soon as the shtar is signed, then he's able to marry a Bas Yisrael? That's a matter of Isser Veheter. So what do we say? We're saying over here like this: when it came to the get issue, there's no question it's a choyv. Therefore, the whole question of Eidav Achsumov doesn't even begin. But when it comes to a shtar shichur, we're saying there may be the consideration of Eidav Achsumov Zochinloi. If we say that's a schus for him, but even if that, if the whole concept of Eidav Achsum of Zochinloi is only Dirabanan, how is that going to allow him to marry a Bas Yisrael? And Tosfos discusses that, Tosfos discusses and says, first, maybe in fact you're right, he wouldn't be allowed to marry a Bas Yisrael until he actually receives the shtar. As far as buying and selling property and whatever, as far as the mammon component, there we would say that yes, it takes effect from when it's signed, but not as far as the Isser V'Heter component. Then Tosfos says that maybe actually it would work because Loi Plug, and because Loi Plug, the Chum are not going to draw distinctions within their takonas like that, and they sometimes have the ability to make a takona like that, even in something that impinges on something Daraisa. Continues the Gemara. The Mishnah had said Diatiki Matonav Chola, that if you find a document of Diatiki, which is a Matnas Shivmara, or a document of Matona, which is a Matnas Bori, where a healthy person says, I'm giving a Matona. So then again, we said that you shouldn't return them because again, there may have been written and he changed his mind and decided not to give them, and therefore we can't return them to either party. So, Tonanabonan, Ezuhi Diatiki, what is the definition of a Diatiki? Da Tehela Mekam Belios, this is the kind of shtar where this is going to be, this is going to stand, and this is going to be, meaning it's a Matnas Shchid Mera, where whatever a shchivmana says, divas shchivmana k'ksuvin v'chim esudim damu, whatever a shchivmana says is considered as though it's written and signed and is irrevocable. Well, to be exact, it's irrevocable if he dies. If he the Gemara discusses it, but we're going to learn in Bava Basra, that's the shame, that there's details. One thing about a matnas shchivmana, if he recovers, then all those matonis become bottle, because the whole point of them was that only he figures he's going to die. But we're going to learn in great detail over there, and in particularly in the 8th and 9th perek of Bava Basra, we're going to talk about when they're chal and when they're not, and when they're revocable and when not, etc. Anyway. So she mess nechosim l'ploini. So the shtar is saying that if the guy dies, then his nechosim should go to ploini. So that's the definition of a diati. Matona. What is the definition of a shtar matona? Is kosher chosim boy mahayur malachamisa. If it says in it that this property is from today and la'achamisa, meaning in other words that the goof of the karka or whatever asset it is belongs to the recipient right away, and the payrus after the payrus go start going to him after the giver dies. Tosfos actually discusses another possibility that it means he's giving the goof and the payrus on with a condition that he won't change his mind until he dies. So now the Mishnah had said, so it means, in other words, that he's saying the goof and the peiris. What he's saying is he's given the goof and the peiris, means from today, but I still retain the right until Missa to change my mind. No, on both of them, Tosfos explains on Amud Beis, that it means that he's saying, I'm giving you this matana, but being that I'm a bori, I'm still retaining myself the right to change my mind until I die. Whereas again, according to Rashi, what it means is giving the payrus, the goof right away and the payrus later on. So the Gemara asks, so Alma, so you're telling me that only if it says Mehayomal Achamisa, only then is the other guy acquiring the Matana, and if not, then not. If he gives him the payrus while he's alive also, or like Tosfos says, if he's saying that I'm not going to change my mind, then it wouldn't. What do you mean? Although it should be all the stronger. And the Gemara says, Amar Abaye Hochi Kama. What the Braisa means is Ezei Matnas Bori, Shehi Kematnas Shchimra. What is a matnas bori, which is like a matnas shchimra, in the sense to like koni elo la'achamisa, where the makabel is acquiring it only la'achamisa, kol shekosibam ayom la'achamisa, when it says this expression ayom la'achamisa. In other words, if it didn't say that, then fakir. What we mean is that he's acquiring it right away. But if a matnas shchimra, by definition, takes effect only when the guy dies. A matnas bori usually should take effect right away. What kind of matnas bori is similar to a matnas shchimra in that regard is when he writes mehayom la'achamisa. So according to Rashi, the point is he's making it clear that you don't have full rights to this asset until I die. Meanwhile, all you have is the guf, not the peiros. The peiros I'm retaining the right of. And according to Rabbeinu Tam, the verdict is that he's saying that until I die, I have the right to change my mind. Only when I die and I haven't changed my mind, only at that point is the matana going to take effect. And again, a regular matnas shchimra is only koine la'achamisa, because that's the point. He's only doing it because machmas misa, mitzava machmas misa, is giving the instructions because he figures he's about to die, so therefore it only takes effect when he dies. So, yeah. So now we're saying there can be a matnas bori that's the same way, namely where he formulates it like that, mahayom la'achamisa. Okay. So now the Gemara says, Taima deloy omar tnu. Now we're saying then that the reason you don't return the shtar is because he didn't say tnu, he didn't say give it to the recipient. Ha'oma tnu noisnin. It sounds like in the Mishnah, he may have changed his mind. He decided not to give them, and therefore we have a problem. But it sounds like if he says, it's fine, go ahead and give it, then you do. The problem is, or a minhu, I have a contradiction. A braisa says, motza diat kois. If a person finds diatiki documents, these matnas shchimra, or aputikois, or he finds shtar shtoris of aputiki. So Rashi explains, we're talking about there was a milva yeshona. He has an old outstanding debt, which he hasn't yet paid off. And now he writes out a document saying that I'm the shabbat, this particular property of mine, that it'll be used to pay the debt. So in other words, Marsha points out we have to be talking about that kind of scenario where it's a milva yeshona. If it was a regular thing where he takes out the loan now and makes an apusiki, then that would be like any other shtar chayv. So we're talking about over here where it was an old outstanding chayv, and now he's writing a new shtar apusiki on that. So if he finds that, or matonis or documents of matana, alpha pisha shnei moedim, even though they both agree that it was already delivered, lo yachso lo lazev lo lazev, you don't return it to either one of those. You don't return it to either one. Because what happens is, Rashi explains, he might have written out a document for one person. So let's say he wrote out a document saying to Reuven that he's giving him property. He didn't yet give it to him, so therefore he wasn't zoicha yet. Then he wrote another shtar to Shimon, and he gave Shimon his shtar, and therefore he's zoicha. So now let's say he wants to take back the gift to Shimon and give it to Reuven after all. So he wants to receive the shtar so he can take it out in Beistin, and then it'll come out that Reuven's shtar is dated before Shimon's, and Reuven will get it. And we don't want that because the fact is Shimon has the right to the property because he's the one who received his shtar first. So we see that even if he says tnu, then we still have that concern and therefore we shouldn't return it. So why is the Mishnah saying nimlach alein shalei litnan, implying that if he says give it, then you go ahead and give it? Don't we have that concern? And the answer is amar abba memel like kasha. It depends whether we're talking about a bori or a shchimra. in the Braise, we're talking about where he's a body. We find a matnas body. So we see that now Rashi points out the difference. One difference in nusach between the matna between a matnas body and a matnas shchivra. In a matnas shchivra, it would say the words kidkotzer v'romi ba'ause. This document was written when the guy was sick and lying in bed. Because that's a shchivra. Arisa means a bed. Kidkotzer when he's sick. The Romi and he's placed by Ause in his bed. So then that would be how we write in a matna shchivra. So when we don't have that in the document, so then we can't return it because he's able to change his mind. Where's the Mishnah? The Mishnah is talking about matnas shchivra. So therefore he says tnu, then you can go ahead and give it because by matnas shchivra, once it was written, then it's already as good as delivered. Rashi further down on the Amud actually points out that that our Mishnah does mention diatiki as well. So and a diatiki is a matnas shchivra, like we just said. So Rashi has to be doichik a little bit, and he says it means that if you find it, you don't return it. We said the Mishnah Shani Omer, because you say he might have changed his mind, but when he says tnu, then the Mishnah is saying you can go ahead and return it because by matnas shchivra, because he already died. And then, in other words, Rashi goes on to say, when you can't say Shani Omer, for example, Shchivra, who didn't end up dying of this, then we're saying that if he says Tnu, then that's fine because you can go ahead and give it. So Rashi explains like this. Rashi is explaining that when you have the Mishnah mentions Diatiki and Matonis, which are both Matnas Bori and Matnas Shchivra. So here the Gemara is saying, though, that we're talking only about a Matnas Shchivra in the Mishnah. So he explains, no, when it comes to a Matnas Bori, we don't do this diuk of Ha'amatnu Noisni. The concern is that, again, you have two people involved over there. So even if he says tnu, then you're not going to give it regardless. When we say the diuk from the Mishnah, ha'ama tnu noisnin, would apply only to a matnas shchivra. So a matnas shchivra, if he says give it, if he says I did in fact write it intending to give it, and then therefore we can give it. That's a point of Rashi. Tosfos doesn't like that because it's a bit of a doichik to say that when the Mishnah is saying that the inference ha'ama tnu noisnin applies to only one case of the Mishnah and not the other, only diatiki, not matana, and therefore Tosfos explains differently and says that the matana was he's giving him everything, but he's saying only if I don't change my mind. So then, as a matnas body, he still has the ability to change his mind, as opposed to a matnas shchivra. It's not a matter of changing his mind; it's only a matter of if he dies or if he recovers. So the Gemara says, so masnisin de katoni ha'oma tnu noisnin b'shchivra. When the Mishnah says that if he says give it, then you do give it, it's talking about a shchivra, de bar mehader, who he's capable of changing his mind. Because even after we gave the shtar, damrinan, because we say my ikla meimar, what are you going to say? There's no chash about two people. Duma kosva me ikra lahai. You're going to say maybe he wrote out a shtar originally for Reuven, and then he changed his mind and didn't give it to him. And then he wrote out another shtar for Shimon and gave him the thing. No problem. That's fine. He's able to change his mind now and then take it away from the second one and give it to the first one and then switch back and forth. So therefore, there's no problem with a matnas shchivra of him changing his mind because he does have the ability to do that. So therefore, there's no concern that he may be saying tnu in order to prevent somebody else who he previously gave from, because he doesn't need that. He could outright say, give it to Pliny instead of Pliny, and that'll be chal because he's a shchivra.
guess you have to have Aedus.
You know? You have to have Aedus, fine. But yeah. Yeah, fine. But okay, the fact is that, yeah. If the concern is that, and if the concern is that it wasn't a matnas shchivmara, but rather a matnas bori, less like seder. There's also the second one is not going to lose out. Dekinafki tauti, because if two shtoris come out, basraisa zochi. It's going to be the last one who's it's going to be the last one who's going to be zocher. Dehachoder baby kamaisa, because after all, he changed his mind and decided not to give the first one. So if I care, the one with a later dated shtar is the one who's going to be in the stronger position. And even matnas shchivmara nami yaveni ale less like seder. And similarly, also even if he gives it as a matnas shchivmara, there's also less like seder. Inappropriate loss. The basrais is zochi. The kahad be mekamaisa. Same thing. The second one is going to be zoicha because. Here the second one is actually going to be the one for whom the shtar was written first, and now the shkribana is saying give back the shtar that was lost and found to him. So he now becomes the second one because we can see now he's the one who the last instructions were given about to kahoda baby kamaisa because he changed his mind and decided not to give it to the first one. So in the case of our Mishnah, we're saying the guy is a shkribana. And it works either way, no matter how, whether in fact he gave it as a matnas bori or a matnas shchivmara, either way, we're going to say that whichever one received the shtar last, or whichever one's shtar is dated last, as the case may be, is going to be fine, and therefore there's no inappropriate seder. So there's no problem in our Mishnah if he says tnu of returning. But when the Braisa says that even though both of them are moida, so the Noisin admits and says that he did in fact give it to this other guy, and therefore you would think that now he says tnu, go ahead and give it back to him, and we still say you shouldn't. We're talking about where the guy at the time, the giver, is a bori. Where once he gives a matana, he has no ability to change his mind. So now we have the concern that we said, he may have written this shtar that was lost first for somebody, the imlich v'layavale, and he changed his mind, didn't give it to him. Then he wrote it to somebody else and gave it to him. Now he changes his mind regarding the second one and wants to give it to the first one after all. And he thinks to himself, look, as far as changing my mind, I can't because I gave it as a matnas bori and I know that a matnas bori is irrevocable. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to do a trick. I'm going to say that in fact I gave this to the first one first. The nedu nihalik sova. They're going to return him the shtar. That way he can bring out the shtar that he received first, and he will be zoche. In other words, the key thing to realize is that when it comes to a matnas bori, unlike with a shchivmara, where we're saying the second one is the one who's koina, because the shchivmara has the ability to change his mind, the bori does not. So therefore, it's going to be the one with the first dated shtar who's going to be the one who gets it. And now with the bori, since we have this concern that he may change his mind and decide to give it to somebody else, and then he's going to figure, you know what, I realize it's too late to change my mind, but now I'm going to pretend over here this whole matter with the lost and found and everything. That is why the bori says saying that you don't return it, even though he's moida. So if he wanted to make the trick work, then there isn't. I mean, if he can't write another shtar because another shtar is going to be dated later than the first one, and it's going to be the first one who's going to be koina. So that's why we don't return it, because now that there exists a shtar with an earlier date, which is this lost and found one, we don't want then that he's going to use that to play this kind of trick.
And give it to someone else.
So again, you have a shtar that he wrote that in Nissen he gave this property to Reuven. Then you have another. Then that shtar was lost. Now he wrote another. At some point, he wrote another shtar to Shimon saying that he's giving the property as of Eir. Now let's say he changes the same property. Yeah. Now we're saying that later on he changes his mind. He decides he doesn't want to give it to Shimon. After all, he wants to give it to Reuven. So what's he going to do? He's going to claim that this shtar, which was previously written to Reuven, was in fact delivered when it wasn't necessarily. It may have only been written and not delivered. And therefore, Shimon was the one who acquired the property, and now he's going to be taken away from Shimon inappropriately. As opposed to with a shchivmana, you don't have that, because a shchivmana, in fact, is able to change his mind. So the Gemara says, so Ella Amrinim Lay. So now what we're going to do to this giver who's claiming this shtar was in fact already delivered to Reuven, and therefore you should give it back to him, we tell him like this. Look, we're not going to return this shtar. We're not going to give this shtar to Reuven because, as we said, Duma Michtav Kasvas may have lo yahavet niale, because maybe you only wrote it, but you didn't give it to him yet. The yahavitel in a shachrina, and meanwhile you gave the same property to somebody else, the kahadras bay, and you changed your mind. By the way, the Ritva points out over here that a good part of the Gemara that was saying over here, the Ritva says, is actually not from the original Gemara that was written by Ravina and Ravashi, but rather was later from Rabbi Hudoi Goin. He says that's partly why it's so wordy. Why is it so repetitious? So what happened was, it's not Rabbi Hudoi is already one of the Goinim. He can't add to the Gemara. But what happened is he taught his Talmidim explanations, which they wrote on the margins of their manuscripts of the Gemara, and later copyists thought a lot of times that those things belong in the Pnim of the Gemara and inserted them. So we have the Ritva actually points out there are several places in Or Masechta. I'd forgotten to mention them in earlier places, but there are several places where the Ritva says similar things about other passages in Or Masechta, that they're actually something that was originally Alagilian, that was written by a Talmud of Rabbi Hudoi Goin and then mistakenly inserted into the Gemara. Anyway, so we tell the guy like this: we can't return the shtar because it's true you may have written it, not delivered it yet. Now you're trying to change your mind about the gift that you wanted to give the other guy. If in fact it's true, you're saying you never gave it to somebody else in the first place, then no problem. There's an easy way out of it. And you still want to give this present to the original person, fine. Write him a new shtar and give it to him.
Same name, everything the same.
And this way, if in fact you did previously give it to somebody else, less babseda, there won't be. You're not causing them any harm to kodim zochi, because the other guy has a shtar that's dated first, and this being a matnas bori, you're not able to change your mind, and therefore, so that'll take care of everything. So
if there is someone else, the other person will go again.
Then, yeah, exactly. So therefore, there won't be any pseda to him that we're causing inappropriately. But that is why we can't. So we tell him we can't return the shtar. But if you really do want to give it to this fellow whose name is written in the shtar, then write a new shtar for him. And that way, if he is in fact the only one that you ever gave this asset to, then good. This will be a proof that he owns that asset. And if not, then this will forestall any trickery that you're trying to do, because meanwhile his shtar will be dated later than the other guy's shtar, and therefore the other guy will have got. But Maskifler Reb Zvid, but Reb Zvid asks on that. The fact is, so you're telling me then that the Mishnah you're saying is talking about matnas shchivmara, and the Braisa is talking about matnas bori. The fact is, both the Mishnah and the Braisa both use the expression diat kois, where diat tiki is a matnas shchivmara. So what are you telling me that the Braisa is talking only about a matnas bori, and the Mishnah is only talking about a matnas shchivmara? With the Mishnah, we said that we're talking about there can be a matnas shchivmara, which he gives as a matnas bori, but fine, the point is, either way, it uses the expression diat kois in both the Mishnah and the Braisa, implying that both of them are talking about a matnas shchivmara. So in that case, again, why is the Mishnah saying that you can return it? The Mishnah is implying that if he says tnu, then you can return it, and the Braisa is saying, even though he says tnu, you don't return it. Both the Mishnah and the Braisa are talking about a shchivmara. But like Kasha, one is talking about him himself, and the other is talking about his son. Meaning, so the Mishnah is talking about the Mishnah is talking about where the Noisin is still alive. So he's saying, give the shtar, so then you go ahead and do it. the Braise is talking about where he passed away, and now his son is saying tnu, then we don't give it for reasons that the Gemara is now going to explain. Masnissin de Ka'omar. No, we're talking about, in other words, that the shtar was lost and now found, and now the son of the Nosin says, go ahead and give it to the Makab. Yeah. So what it is like this. Masnissin de Ka'omar tnu Nosin bidide. It's talking about him himself, Debar Mehadabu. After all, he as the Shtimra, is still able to change his mind. So even though the Makabal already received the Shtar, the Noisin can still change his mind and say that I want to give it to somebody else. Damrinan. So again, we can say, Inami Yahavala Inashachrina, less Vip Seda. Even if he does give it to somebody else, there's no harm done. He's not making the other one lose out. Dekama Ubasra, because again, when we have two Shtaris involving a Matna Shimra, Basra Zahi, it's going to be the last one, the one who was written, who receives the last shtar, is the one who's Zahi, Jehohodebe Mikama, because he changed his mind and decided not to give it to the first one. Ki katoni bebraisash, afopi shnei modim, layachsa, loylozev, loylozev. When the braisa says that either way, you don't return it to either one, it's talking about bebrei, where his son is saying. So the father passed away, never having changed his mind, and now the son, who's coming to Yaushin, is saying that you should give the shtar back to the person whose name is on it. Damrinan, so now we say, Dilma Kosavavu Alahai, the father may have written out the shtar to this person whose name is on the shtar. The Imlech V'layavim Niale, he changed his mind, never ended up giving it to him. Now, after the father died, the son who yaushin this property, because it still stayed in his father's possession, the son now goes and writes out a shtar to somebody else, and gives it to him. Now he's changing his mind and deciding he doesn't want to give it to that other guy after all. So he thinks to himself, I can't change my mind, it's too late. So I'm going to claim that my father gave it to this guy, because they're going to return him his shtar, and then we're going to be able to take it away from the one that I gave it to, saying that the first one was Zeichen at first, and then I can divide the property with him. So it's similar to the previous answer. It's similar to the previous answer, but with the twist. We're not talking about Bori versus Shchimra. We're talking about Shchimra versus the Shchimra's son. We have a concern over here about he's doing a knunya over here. So Hilkach Amin and Lay. Therefore, we tell him again, Anan Haik Sava Lo Yavin and Lay. We're not going to give back the shtar to the guy whose name says in it. The Dilma, because we have that exact problem. The Dilma Michta Kasve Avua may have layavale, because your father may have written the document and not actually given it to him via vita in the shachrin of a kahadrik bay, and you gave it to somebody else, and now you're trying to change your mind. If you're telling the truth and your father did in fact give this guy the matana, zil at hashta sivle shtar achrina, then you go now write him a new shtar. This way, even if the father had not in fact given it to him, if in fact he had never delivered the shtar to him, and you gave the matana to somebody else, less bapseda. Again, there's no harm being done. The kamobas or kamazok. When it comes to a matnas bori, you being a bori, you the son being a bori, if there are two documents, a matana, then the one who gets first is the one who's going to get it, because of matnas bori, you don't have the ability to change your mind. So again, then this way it forestalls any possibilities of knunya, of playing tricks like that. So again, similar to Rabbi Abba Memel's answer, except that instead of Bori versus Shimra, we are distinguishing between Bori and Shimra, but the twist is the Bori over here is the son. So therefore, we can still say the Mishnah and the Braisa are both referring to Diatiki, because there is in fact the document that we're discussing over here, whether to return, is a Matnas Shimra, but the question is whether in fact it was delivered, and therefore whether, and if it wasn't delivered, can it be overridden by somebody else? So here's where Rashi makes the point over here that we said before, that on the other hand, in the Mishnah, we say, and it seems to apply to both to both Matyatiki and Matonis, yet we're saying over here that it applies to only one of them, and Rashi is, so Rashi, again, like we said before, is Durchik and says that, yes, it does mean only by Diatiki can we return it, but by Matona not, because you have the concern over here, and again, Tosfos disagrees with that and learns differently that the Matona is not that he said I'm giving part of it while I'm still alive and the rest after I die, but rather he's saying I have the ability as long as I'm alive to change my mind, meaning that normally we're saying a Matnas body, you have no ability to change your mind, but here we're saying he left himself the out to do just that, therefore it's similar in that sense to a matnas shchimra, and therefore you can also have amatnu noisnin, because again, if there's a second one, it will override the first one, since he left an opening in the first one to say that he can change his mind. So in short, then, so ultimately, then that's how we reconcile. So we're saying, in other words, in short, the question is always going to be: is there some way that returning this shtar is going to allow somebody to play a trick and take away from the recipient improperly by claiming that here normally the second recipient should receive it, but here we're going to pretend as though the first one is. When you do that, then you can't. When you have that consideration, then you can't return it. When you don't have that consideration, when anyway the one who received it last or is anyway going to be the one who gets it, then you're good, and then therefore, if he says tnu, then you can return it. Okay, everyone.